You're listening to The Football Hour with Alex Mearns.
Hello and welcome to The Football Hour with me, Alex Mearns. Once again, it's been an extremely long 7 days without you, my football friends. A lot can change in 7 days in football, can't it? Arsenal's new team can go from amazing to amazingly awful. Aguero can go from great to godlike. Kevin De Bruyne somehow last week in the last 7 days delivered more assists than the Royal Mail delivered parcels. Jose Mourinho went from the special one to 1-0 loss away from home. West Brom, well, they remained rubbish. And of course, Leeds United lost to make my weekend that little bit worse. What a life we lead. On this very special Scottish podcast, we are taking the National Express from bottom to top. We are heading to Pittodrie, home of the Dons, to count down the seven of the best from Aberdeen Football Club. Last week, we crowned Jimmy Dickinson as Pompey's greatest ever player. Big love and thanks goes out to every seven of the best player and football friend who gave that podcast a listen. If you are new to these podcasts, let me just tell you, this is the best football podcast on the podcast market. And we talk about the best football game in the world. Let me tell you a little bit more. Each week, we'll be going through different clubs up and down the football land and deciding who were the seven of the best from that particular club's history. The reason I give you these exceptionally exciting pods where we count down the seven of the best is because this podcast is kindly sponsored by the greatest football game in the land. That game is 7otb.com. If seven of the best was a footballer, it would be a weird combination of Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. It's that good, I promise you. Seven of the Best is a free-to-play game where you pick your seven of the best predictions from the top eight football leagues in the country. All you got to do is pick five wins, one banker, which is the win you most strongly feel will win that game week, and this is the one that tricks everyone, the one draw. But seven of the best, it's quite simple. Us lucky 7OTB players try each week for the £250 in the individual prize. Meaning, if you get the best score on the game that week, the money is yours. Secondly, the £700 team prize is on offer every week. That's where you and all your mates combine your scores together and we all dream of winning the big prize. And that big prize is the £1 million seven of the best has on offer if you get seven of the best 4 game weeks in a row. Every week I think of one new thing I would spend my £1 million on if seven of the best gave it to me because I won 4 weeks in a row. Well, this week I thought, with the League Cup final coming at Wembley in a few weeks, I'd have to get myself a nice box, a few bottles of champagne, a nice lovely meal for the match. I cannot wait to see Arsenal versus Man City at Wembley for the final. Then, probably straight after the match, I'd book a holiday somewhere warm. But I can't wait to be a millionaire. It seems like a good life. Anyway, what's coming up on the podcast? We'll be picking our seven of the best to ever play for the Dandies. We'll be giving you the opportunity to pick your seven of the best Dons players via At The Football Hour. I'll be celebrating my massive, my huge 17 points on seven of the best. And the fact that I predicted, are you ready for this? I predicted the draw correct. Yes, I was let down by a few wins, but I got the draw, so that's the most important thing. We'll have a gander at how Ledley King's legends got on and see what his key talking points from last weekend were. Newcastle fans, keep your ears open for that part. Ledley is shining a light on your brilliant manager and your brilliant result from last week. Then we'll be walking you through my week 29 predictions and telling you how to predict your seven of the best by 2:45 on Saturday the 17th of Feb. But first, football friends, let's kick off the show by counting down the seven of the best Aberdeen players ever. this podcast will certainly not be mentioning the likes of Paul Bernard, Gerald Iffel, nicknamed the Beast, probably because he should be in the wild and not on a football pitch, and Leon Mike, who retired from football because he was so bad and became a lawyer. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be focusing on the cream of the Dandies crop. So we start from seven and we're going to work our way to the best player to ever play for the Reds. Here we go. At number seven, Russell Anderson. He grew up in the Manorfield area of Aberdeen and attended Aberdeen Grammar School. He began his career with local club Aberdeen. Anderson progressed through the ranks to make his first team debut in 97, scoring his first goal for the club in a 4-0 win against Hibernian in 2000. Described as a solid, reliable centre-back, although he played some of his first matches at right-back, Anderson established himself as a first-choice player and went on to make more than 300 appearances in his first spell with the club. In 03, he was appointed club captain, a role he held for 4 years before moving to Sunderland in 2007. In the 05-06 season, he won the most league Man of the Match awards from BBC Radio Scotland's Sports Sound. In 2006, Anderson celebrated 10 years at the club with a testimonial match against Everton, a match where the Aberdeen fans showed their respect for his considerable ability and loyalty, with 12,000 fans in attendance. At number six on the chart, Jim Brett. By the time Aberdeen manager Sir Alex Ferguson took Jim Brett to Pittodrie in 85, the cultured midfielder was already a well-travelled footballer. Starting at Airdrie through Iceland and Belgium, the Scottish internationalist signed for Rangers in 1980, before again heading abroad back to Belgium. It was from there Fergie signed Brett for £300,000 in time for the start of the 85-86 season. It didn't take Brett long to make an impression. In the opening game of the season against Hibs, a short corner from Peter Weir found Brett on the edge of the box, and his first drive from 20 yards found the roof of the net. The first goal in a comfortable 3-0 win to get Aberdeen's defence of the title off and running. Brett struck up an immediate partnership with Weir on the left of the Dons midfield, adding calmness and a class that could be argued was sometimes missing from Fergie's teams of that time. His often lackadaisical approach to games irritated many fans, but there could be no doubt he's quite considerable talent in the Aberdeen engine room. It has generally been considered that the Gothenburg team were the best Dons side of all time, and Aberdeen fans have long discussed which other Dons player could have comfortably played in that team. Jim Brett's name is always one that crops up more than most. A wonderfully cultured midfielder and one that fully deserves all the plaudits he receives for his time with Aberdeen. Number five, Jim Leighton. Leighton was an unfussy and reliable goalkeeper, something that Scotland has been in short supply of over the years. He would spend the bulk of his career at Aberdeen, but also played for Man United and had a moderately successful spell at Hibs before rejoining Aberdeen in 97. He was capped 91 times for Scotland over a spell of 16 years and was included in 4 World Cup squads. The idea of a Scotland team qualifying for a World Cup now is almost alien. Leighton joined Aberdeen from Ayrshire club Dowry Thistle in 1978 and spent some time out on loan at Deverton Dale. He made his Aberdeen debut in Sir Alex Ferguson's first game in charge of the club against Hearts at Tyne Thistle. First choice keeper Bobby Clark was unable, so the young, inexperienced Leighton was brought in as his replacement. Eamon Bannon scored for Hearts after just 3 minutes, but despite the heavy rain and poor conditions, Aberdeen fought back to win 4-1, with Leighton making a number of crucial saves. He had made a good impression in his first game and would go on to establish himself in the most successful Aberdeen sides of all time. Under Fergie's management, the Dons would win the Cup Winners' Cup, beating Bayern Munich and Real Madrid in the process, 4 Scottish Cups, 2 League Cups and a league title. Leighton was in goal for all of these triumphs. Number 4, Hans Gilhouse. Here's one for you. Aberdeen Football Club are interested in buying a striker. A fast wee guy can turn defenders before they even know he's got the ball and then he's gone. Into the penalty area. The keeper comes out. 1-0. Sounds good. What if you were to be told he was a European Cup winner? In his prime, a certainty to go to the forthcoming World Cup as a backup guy who was about to be named as the greatest striker of the century. Now it's sounding too good, isn't it? But you know it happened. For £650,000, a Dutchman by the name of Hans Gilaus left behind Hans Brückelen, Gerard van Ubrug and Søren Lebry at PSV Eindhoven to team up with Theo Snelders, Jim Brett and Charlie Nicholas at Aberdeen. His debut would come at Dunfermline's East Park. It was a miserable day, but there was an eagerness amongst the Dons fans to see the new Dutchman after all, his country had been known to produce one or two good players. If there's been a better debut by a Dons player, I certainly haven't seen it. By half-time, they were 2-0 up. Or should I say, Hans Gilaus was 2 up. A header from 6 yards, followed a sublime looping overhead bicycle kick. Awesome stuff. But the thing the Dons fans couldn't get over was his pace with the ball at his feet. He made the Dunfermline defenders look stupidly static that day. By the end of the weekend, the whole of Scottish football was talking about him. 27 goals in just over 90 games left the Aberdeen fans in awe of the striker. Number 3, Gordon Strachan. The wee man, as he's affectionately known to the Aberdeen support, joined the Dons in an exchange deal that took Jim Shearer to Dundee with a £40,000 cash adjustment. Dons boss Billy McNeil brought off the deal that was to prove crucial to Aberdeen's success. Strachan went on to become a vital part of the Aberdeen side, with a rare talent to easily trick his way past opponents. Capped for Scotland on 50 occasions, Strachan joined Man United in 84 for £600,000, played for Scotland at 2 World Cups and also enjoyed considerable success at Leeds and Coventry. Number 2, Alex McLeish. Signed for the Dons in 1977 from Glasgow United and went on to become a Dons legend, gaining 77 caps for Scotland. An integral part of the great Dons side of the 80s, forged a defensive partnership with Willie Miller that is arguably the greatest ever seen in the Scottish game. A dominating centre-half, McLeish remains a favourite at Pittodrie and was awarded a testimonial in 1990. Joined Motherwell as manager in 94 after a remarkable 17-year Pittodrie career, another of the Dons' exclusive 500 appearance club. Here we go. Aberdeen's greatest ever player, Willie Miller. Without doubt, the Dons' great. Miller has no equal. Inspirational captain that took the Dons to heady heights of success at home and abroad. Joined the Dons in 1971, and after being converted into a sweeper, Miller forged a remarkable career with the Dons. League Cup wins in 76 and 89 sandwiched a run of success never seen at Pittodrie. Capped for Scotland on 65 occasions, Miller has been afforded every accolade in the game. Took over as Dons boss in February 92, but paid the ultimate penalty as the Dons struggled in 95. Has proved a popular media pundit, but that role was curtailed after he joined the Aberdeen board in June 2004. Miller has never worked in football out of the confines of Pittodrie. He is Seven of the Best and the Football Hour's greatest Dons player. If you don't agree with any of our picks and wish to create your own Seven of the Best Aberdeen players, all you've got to do is tweet at the Football Hour using our hashtag 7OTBDONS with your selections. Now we've finished our chart show countdown. All that's left to do is move on to Seven of the Best Matters. The boss at the company is Ledley King. Yes, I say it every week, but you heard that right. The ledge that is Ledley King. Mr. King does a little news article called 7 Talking Points from the Weekend's Games. You can read the full article online at sevenofthebest.com. Since retiring, he likes to keep us, 7 of the Best players, informed with his opinions on the latest football results and transfers. This week, Ledley was of course talking about Spurs, the North London derby win against the Gunners. But I didn't want to upset our Arsenal supporters even further, so I decided to pick out his quotes about Rafa Benitez and Newcastle. Mr. King said this: Rafa has now beaten Mourinho 6 times, more than any other manager except Pep Guardiola. After Newcastle's shock 1-0 win over the Red Devils, the gap between United and City is now a massive 16 points, and City could have the chance to secure the title at Old Trafford when they face them in April. That was what Mr. King was saying about Rafa. As well as writing his website articles, Ledley likes to get involved with the playing of seven of the best, like we all do. He has a pretty cool team. His team consists of Paul Robbo Robinson, Sean Wright Phillips, Titus Bramble, Jermaine Genus, Robbie Keane, Peter Crouch, and of course Ledley King. They didn't do too badly last game week. The legend scored a solid 78 points this weekend, finishing in 28th place in the weekly team competition. Just 27 more places, Ledley, and you get the £700. Sean Wright Phillips netted 19 points, which is more than I did, while Ledley, Robbie Keane and Paul Robinson all got an average 15. The legends are now 19th overall for the season in the team table. So, if they put a good run together, these legends may win our overall team prize. I told you at the start of the podcast I'd tell you how to set up your teams like Ledley has done with his mates. It's pure simple. All you've got to do is this. You can go to manage my team selection on 7 of the best, send your mates an email or WhatsApp invite. If your team gets the highest score that game week, you share £700 between you. Right, enough of Ledley and his Premier League legends. I want to talk about last game week for me and then how I'm going to turn round my luck and finally win on this game week. Here are my results from last game week. My banker completely let me down. I went for Manchester United as my banker. Obviously, I lost a point there because Newcastle won 1-0. But other than that, I did amazingly well. I went for a Liverpool win, got me 3 points. I went for Man City, which got me 4 points, which means because they scored so many goals, I got an extra point. So I'm on 7 there. Then Bristol City, I went for a home win against Sunderland. At half time, I'm thinking, well, that's sorted. I've absolutely got the 3 points there. Bristol City are 3-0 up. Sunderland came back and drew 3-3, which really cost me. Then Borough, they won. Wolves won, and I finally got the draw right. So, if Bristol City didn't mess up, and Manchester United didn't stupidly lose to bottom of the table Newcastle, then I would have done ridiculously well. So I'm taking that as a moral victory. Here are my predictions for next game week. I'm going for wins for Swindon, Accrington Stanley, Peterborough United, Shrewsbury, Charlton, and my banker are Wolves away at Preston. Then my draw, because I'm the draw specialist now. Listen to this. Cheltenham Town versus Wycombe Wanderers. That's my draw. To enter your predictions, head to 7otb.com to set up your profile and new teams with your mates. Then, just like I have, insert your 7 of the best game week selections. Remember, you must make your game week 29 selections by 2:45 on Saturday the 17th of February. It's free to enter and you can try and play your way to £1 million. You are always 4 weeks away from that milli. Follow at 7OTB Football on Twitter and hit that like button on Facebook for all the latest stats to help you decide which teams to pick. All I must say now is thank you so much for giving me your ears to listen to Aberdeen 7 of the Best. Thank you to 7OTB for sponsoring this podcast, and thank you to you, the football friend, for always listening to me, Alex Mearns. See you next week.
You've been listening to The Football Hour with Alex Mearns.